We're going to talk about stand focused and keep believing. We've been talking a lot about this last, probably over this last 2-3 months, about a lot of faith things, building our faith, encouraging our hearts, saying, come on, don't stop believing. I'm not going into another song, don't worry. Keep trusting God. He's faithful. He's good. And right now, we're right near the end. We're in the middle of a miracle, watching all that God's doing. And we could turn around with a cynical heart and go, but come on, it's not really a miracle. People just give. That is a miracle. People give to the level they've given, that is a true miracle. The price that we agreed with the building is a true miracle. The fact that we're going to get the keys on Wednesday is a true miracle. I mean, we can look with cynical eyes and go, this, and this, or we can go, wow, look what God has done. Only God could have done what he did. I mean, if you look at the feeding the 5,000, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, God still worked with something that was human. He still worked with something that was natural. He worked with whatever we give him, and then he multiplied. And God this morning is here, and he's saying, I'm looking your life. I'm looking everything about your life. I'm looking you to continuously give, not just financially, but to give your whole heart. That's what God really wants, is your whole heart, your whole life, everything that you've got. And you would surrender it to him on the altar. In the Old Testament, we had to surrender things on the altar all the time to make us clean. And then Jesus came, and he was the ultimate sacrifice on the altar. And as a result, we were all good from then on. We were all clean once we asked Jesus into our hearts. We were clean. But from then on, God says, I would love you to present your life as a living sacrifice, to present your life to me in every way, in every part, not in a selfish way, but in an incredible way. Because we as Christians and those who have done that and those who are on the verge of doing that know there's just no life like living a life for God. He is absolutely incredible. And so this morning I want to encourage your hearts. I want to say stay focused and keep believing. It's so hard sometimes to stay focused because there's so many distractions. There's so many things trying to get our attention. There's always someone not feeling well. There's always something not going right. There's always a threat of a job being taken away. There's always something not going to work out. There's maybe, I don't want to speak bad, but there's always, we know in our own lives. We know in our own lives things happen. Bills come, accidents take place, things that we never planned come along into our lives. And all of those things in some shape or form try to take our focus from what we're really trying to focus on, and hopefully this morning our focus is God. And that's who we're trying to focus on, and that's who we're trying to dedicate our lives to, but everything else is trying to distract us from it. I want to read Psalm 84, verse 10. I love this verse. We've got it on the screen in just a minute. Psalm 84, verse 10, and it says this, just as it's coming up, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What a wonderful verse. Better is one day in your courts. Think about that for just a moment. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So let's rephrase that into today. I'm having a really tough week. I'm having a really tough year. But don't worry, better is one day in his courts. I can't wait for the one day that I'm with Jesus forever. That's the day I'm looking forward to. You see, our focus has to align with our perspective, because when we have the right perspective, we can have the right focus. And this morning, as we would think about Jesus and think about a one day, or thinking about the day that we're in today, says rejoice and be glad, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And so even in today, with its issues and its problems and the difficult things around us, we've got to rejoice. We've got to be glad, because better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. That is incredible, and it's important that we realize that. It's important that we know that. Better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And what's it trying to say there? It's trying to say this, is that we can go out and do our own things. We can go out and get our own focuses. We can go out and do X, Y, and Z, things that maybe aren't good for us, things that maybe God hasn't called us to do, and we can get instant gratification. We can get instant results in some of those things. But God's saying this morning is that you can go for those things, and you can dwell in the wrong places. And remember, if you're not for God, you're automatically against God. And God says this morning, better is one day with him than anything else. Better is one day with him than anything else. And I want to encourage you this morning, it might be the one day here, as we said already, or it might be the one day there. But God says, keep your perspective, keep your focus. It's amazing how crazy our lives are, how crazy everything's going on. You think sometimes, God, wouldn't it be really easy if all we had to pray about and all we had to focus on was 175,000? Would that not just be enough, even as big as that is? But inside of all of that, we went on missions trips over to halfway across the world, some of us. We've been through our jobs. We've been through highs and lows in life. We've been in jeopardy in this thing, in that thing. We've had bills to pay. We've had so many different things. And the truth is, in our lives, is that there's so many things coming to try to steal our focus and coming to try and get our attention. And all of those things are out to achieve the one thing, to take our eyes off the one person, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all out to do. It's all out. What is one of the number one tactics of the enemy? To deceive. To try to deceive us that maybe we don't need to focus on this anymore. Maybe I don't need to focus on that anymore. Maybe I could just do this instead. And God's saying this morning, keep your focus on me. And we're going to look at some verses this morning. It's going to encourage you. It's going to build you up no matter where you find yourself, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the hardship is. God's saying, keep your focus on me, and I'll be able to supply all of your needs. Is that good news this morning? So life is hectic, but God is greater. We got to keep our focus and keep our perspective. You know, one of the best ways to keep our perspective if we're doing anything is to fix our eyes on the final prize, is to fix our eyes on the summit. Me and a few of the lads, and Andy led us really well just a few weeks ago, we went up the mountain of Slieve Binion. Now, I think we shared it at the time, but what we had to do was we had to keep the right perspective because plenty of us wanted to quit. Plenty of us wanted to give up. But Andy kept saying, just keep looking to the top. We're nearly there. We're nearly there. And then we got to this one point where we thought we were there, and we saw it, and the clouds was covering everything else. And then, unfortunately, he broke our hearts and said, no, that's not the top. There's still more to go. But when we kept the right perspective, when we focused on the summit, when we reminded ourselves, even though I can't see the top, I know the top's going to be worth it. And that was what kept us going. I mean, Gordon runs marathons and does lots of long races, which I could never do. But I'm sure he's got to keep the end in sight. He's got to remind himself, I want to get to the end. I don't want to stop after 10 miles. I don't want to stop after 15. I got to keep my main focus. And the great news about his running is his focus is not the end of the race. His focus is Jesus. And for us in our lives, that's what it's got to be. Our focus has got to be Jesus, because otherwise we'll be deceived, we'll be caught off guard, we'll start to put our attention in other things, we'll start to focus on other summits instead of the summit of God. And he says, I want to supply all of your needs. We sang it earlier, Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? It's a name for God in the Old Testament. It says the God who would provide. But when we got to the New Testament, you know what it says? That all of those names came together. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. You can do a study and look up all those different terms and all those different names of God. But when we got to the New Testament, guess what happened? You probably already know. All of those names came together, and he was called Jesus. Everything we have need of is in Jesus. And if he's in our lives and we're following after him, he's my goal and he's what I'm after and he's what I'm keeping my focus on. And so when we're climbing our battles of life, when we're climbing our hills in life, our mountains in life, we got to keep our eyes on the summit. And as we learned that day, we couldn't see the summit, but we knew it was there. And in our hard times and our troubled seasons, we've got to realize if you're a believer in Jesus and you know that God is in your heart and you know that God is faithful, in spite of what you see or don't see, keep your eyes fixed on him, because he's going to bring you through. He is going to bring you through. You see, for some of us, when we see like 110,000, it does incredible things. For others, it's just like, I knew God was going to do it. It just depends what our perspective is. It just depends what our focus is. I want to lift our gaze, remind us of our main focus, and that is Jesus. He is worth it, and he will bring us right through to everything that we need to do. Staying focused is one of the hardest things, one of the most difficult tasks. If you're like me, you check emails all of the time for work and probably personal as well, but mostly for work. You know what they say? If you check your emails less and stay focused on the tasks at hand, you'll actually reduce your stress. They say, scientifically proven, doctors are now saying that as a result of us checking our emails over and over and over again in our busy lives, in our busy days, in our workplace, we're actually bringing the stress levels up and we're bringing the productivity down. Makes perfect sense when you think about it, because we're trying to focus on so many things. And God's saying this morning, remind yourself of the main focus, which is me, and then let everything else follow after underneath. Because if we don't, we start to focus on lots of things and we get nowhere and we get nothing done. You know the old phrase, I'm focusing on so many things, I'm getting nothing done. Ever say that to yourself? I'm getting nothing done. What we're better at is focusing on one thing, moving to the next thing, moving to the next thing. What is our focus this morning? It's Jesus. He's always our one thing. I don't want to move to the next thing in him. That's okay for practical things. It's okay for emails. It's okay for tasks and lists. But Jesus for me is my one thing, and I want to stay focused on him. So when it comes to that, it could be emails. It might be checking your phone constantly. You're just checking your phone. You're waiting for a vibration, waiting for a notification. Again, all it's doing is trying to steal our focus. Maybe other options come up. I'll tell you, I remember years back before I went self-employed, getting offered a job. And I'd been praying for a job for a long time, couldn't see one, and nothing was coming up. And then one came up. And so my focus was on that. And I started for 2 or 3 days. And then another job that I applied for, which was more money and better, came up. And I was like, well, I don't want this job anymore. And I switched focus. I switched focus to something else. And one of the biggest distractions to our focus is more options, is better options sometimes, or it feels like this would be a greater option or a better way to go. And I think if we're all honest at times, whenever situations change, whenever we get into difficult situations, whenever we get to a place where we feel nothing's happening and nothing's changing, the big temptation, no matter who you are, is what if I just tried to do it a different way? What if I just tried to do it in my own strength? Now, we don't really want to do that, but we're thinking, well, you know, I've been waiting, I've been patient, I've been trusting God for a new job. Maybe if I just go and do it in my own strength, what if I just go and do something else? And God says, stay focused on me. Or maybe one of the hardest things is relationships. Maybe you've been trusting God for a relationship, and you've been waiting and waiting, especially the younger guys on Saturday nights. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a boyfriend or a girlfriend because they feel that's what they need. And then the temptation is, well, if I can't find them here, I'll go somewhere else and find them there. Or if I can't find a Christian person, I'll go and find somebody else. And my mission will be that they can be my boyfriend or they can be my girlfriend, but I'm going to see them saved too. And I want to encourage us this morning, trust God. God can do all things. So you got to listen to God's voice and he'll lead you in the right things and in the things to do and the things to say. But don't panic when it comes to the obstacles. Don't panic in the things that God's calling you to do. Keep your focus on him. He will bring you through no matter what it is. Philippians 1:21 says this, for to me, I'm going to move his phone. Nice, can you steal his phone because it's just ringing continuously. Philippians 1:21 says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is a story from Paul. Right at the beginning of Philippians, he's writing to the Philippians and he's saying this, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And what's Paul saying in those moments? He's saying, I'm in a struggle for my focus. I'm in a struggle for my focus. I want to stay focused. I want to keep my eyes on the prize. But the truth is, it would be better for me to die. What does he mean by that? He's saying, life is hard. It's full of issues. I've been to prison. I've been in the battles. I've been defeated. I've been beat up. Do you know what? There's times where I just wish I could be with Jesus forever because I know that day is going to be far greater than today's day. And this is the struggle that Paul has. This is a struggle that all of us have because if we're Christians and we know the Lord, then we know our future is decided. And so we think to ourselves, okay, no matter what happens, maybe it's just better I go. And we get into that mindset of, I'd just rather be with Jesus. Life is just getting too hard. But Paul turns around and says, for me to live is Christ. And I feel like this morning God's saying, I want you to stay focused because you can be with me in paradise and that'll come one day. But in this moment, I want you to be me. I want you to be me here on the earth because there's people here that need you. And this is exactly where Paul got himself to. And we're going to read it this morning. It says this in Philippians 1 verse 23. He says, I am torn between the two. Paul, he's being really honest. He's being really He's being really honest. He's being really real. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Of course it is. To be in heaven would be amazing. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians, speaking to the group of Philippians, the church at that time. He says, but it's more necessary for me to stay with you because I've got to help you. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress in joy and in faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on the account of me. What's Paul saying? He's not being big-headed. He's just saying, of course, it would be better for me to go, but I know for you, I've got to stay. Because God's got a call on my life. God's got a focus on my life. I need to stay focused on what God's called me to do. And I want to encourage you today that God has a calling on each one of our lives, a unique calling, a calling only for us to do, a calling that only we can do. And God says, if you'll stay focused on me, I'll bring you through, I'll build you up, I'll encourage you, I'll equip you, and you'll make the difference in people's lives. You'll make the difference as I call you to the different places and the different spots that I have for you as you would stay focused on me. And even the great Paul, his battle was this, maybe not a distraction of, oh, I'd want to go for this thing or that thing in terms of earthly things. His was a good one. His desire was, I just want to be with Jesus forever. But even in those moments, God said, stay focused, Paul. Stay focused. I've got a job for you to do. I've got people for you to reach. And for us this morning, no matter if it's a good desire or a bad desire, stay focused on Jesus. This is what Paul is trying to show us this morning. He had great desires, but he wanted to be with the people so he could help them. We stay focused on Jesus. We stay focused on our mission. And that's so key for us today. When we stay focused on Jesus, we stay focused on our mission. It's crazy how quickly it happens. Whenever we take our eyes off Jesus and we start to focus on other things, suddenly our mission changes. Suddenly it's like, you know what, my dream was to do X, Y, and Z. Now we come back a few years later, what's your dream? Totally different. I've taken my eyes off Jesus. I've taken my focus off him. I've got distracted. Maybe I've got hurt. Maybe I've got let down. And as a result, everything's changed. And God said, if you're in those places, I want to bring you back. I want to restore you. I want to uphold you. I want to bring you back to the place I had for you because I've got something great for you to do. And God is here this morning saying, keep focused on me because as you do, you'll stay focused on the mission. If you take your eyes off me, if you take your focus off me, you'll forget your mission. You'll forget what I've called you to do. You'll forget your purpose. And if you forget your purpose, it's hard to get that satisfaction. It's hard to get that, wow, I'm doing what I was made to do. It's hard to find what would make us complete. It's hard to find that, I finally found the place where I'm meant to be. But in Jesus, he'll not only supply all our needs, but he'll remind us of our mission. He'll keep us focused on our mission. He'll keep us going in the times when it's difficult on our mission, and he will keep us going towards the prize. God is here this morning saying, keep listening to my voice. When my focus drops, so does my attention drops. And I felt that God was saying this, keep listening to my voice. Keep knowing what I'm saying. God is such a good God this morning. He's such a faithful God this morning that he speaks to us. Imagine that. God speaks to us. Now, I don't know what voice he speaks to you in. Maybe it's some big, oh, kind of voice. Or maybe it's just a voice in your heart. Maybe it's just an awareness. Maybe it's as you read scripture, you just feel it just bouncing out to you. You read those verses. Remember those times where you've read something 10 times over, 20 times over, and then this one day you read it and it all makes sense. It's like, wow, that's a word for me. Or maybe someone sends you a message and you're like, wow, that really just hits my heart. That's exactly for me. And how do we keep our focus? How do we not lose attention? By just hearing God's voice, knowing what he's saying, reminding us of what we're called to, reminding us of what we're made for. We chatted a few weeks ago and we said this, it's amazing in our world, whenever the pressure gets on, it's amazing how we just want to quit and run. It's amazing how we get pressed down so low that we forget that we're actually made in the image of God. And if made in the image of God, then we're here to do things for God and able to do things like God. Jesus said, you're going to become my hands and feet. You're going to do the things that I have done and even greater. What a statement for God to say about us. Because when we look in the mirror, we're like, what? I don't feel like I can even get up some days. I don't even feel like I can look after myself, never mind help anybody else. But if we don't allow our attention to be distracted to something else, if we keep listening to his voice, then we keep our focus on him. Isn't it amazing how attention just gets drawn to other things? I'll tell you a funny story about me in terms of eBay. Maybe you've got plenty of yours. Now, I'm looking for something on eBay, and I'm looking for it. You ever get in that, and you're just out for buying something, and then you find the thing that you want, and you watch it. But unfortunately, on the app, this is the one I use on the phone, it only reminds you 15 minutes to go. And what I have found is this, is like, yeah, brilliant. I know what I'm going to bid. I'm going to wait till the last second to bid. And in that 15 minutes, my attention will be drawn to something else. And what will happen? I'll lose focus and I'll miss the thing. And then I'll be like, oh, now I've got to wait for weeks to find that thing again. Or I've got to wait for that deal. And it's amazing how, when it comes down to it, I'm willing to risk losing the item for the risk of getting a better deal. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to get right down to the last few seconds because I want to get a deal more than I want to get that thing. And maybe it's my own selfish fault because then when I miss it, because my attention gets drawn to something else, I miss out on it. And I know that's just a simple story, but for us this morning, whenever we're out and about and we've got to focus on this, if our attention gets grabbed by something else, it's amazing how it robs our focus. It's amazing how it takes us away. And that's a simple thing, but what if it becomes a bigger thing? What if it becomes a focus for our lives and our attention gets drawn to something else? And before you know it, we head through a door that we never should have went to. We become friends with someone we should never have been friends with. We go down a path that we should never have went to. Now, God is still good and he still follows us. But then we get into these predicaments where we self-made things and we've done things and now we've got to ask God to help us to get out of these pits and get out of these places. And God does and he teaches us along the way. But God says if we would just keep our attention on him, it would mean our focus would stay on him. And then we could continue to run the race that God has called us to and not get distracted on the other things along the way. You ever find yourself, the parking tickets, oh, this has happened to us, out the front, the parking tickets. You know when the time is, you forget when the time is, and then it dawns on you. I've got to run because I don't want to get a £45 fine. It's never happened to me, trust me, I think it has. But I hear it, and it's because my attention gets drawn into something else. It gets drawn onto something else, and I forget my focus because my focus switches onto something else. And this morning, it's simple, but it's really true. We've got to remind ourselves of our focus. Ephesians 6 says this, 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. See, we want to keep our focus, and we want to keep believing. But to keep our focus on Jesus, we've got to keep our faith in him, and we've got to remind ourselves what our faith is. And in Romans 6, we read it last week about standing. We read standing four times in the space of three verses. But in this verse, this is what it says. In addition to all the things it said before, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. See, our faith is so important. To keep our focus on Jesus is so important because it reminds us of our faith. And when we're reminded of our faith, we'll remind ourselves to take up the shield of faith, and it will protect us from the fiery darts. You see, here's the problem. If I don't take up my shield, what do the darts hit instead? They don't hit the shield, they hit my heart. And if they hit my heart, they affect me, they hurt me, they get me down. And then before I knew it, I start to question my faith. I start to question my focus. I start to wonder, is Jesus really worth it? I start to question, is God even good any longer? And maybe what really happened was my attention got drawn, my focus got misplaced, and before you knew it, I was forgetting about my faith. I was forgetting to lift up my shield of faith, and as I forgot to lift it up, those darts that kept on flying, those darts that kept on coming, they started to hit my heart. And maybe I didn't feel the first few because I was strong in God. I was strong in him, and I can do this thing. Or maybe I did, but I brushed it off. And so I kept going, and I kept going. But eventually a dart came that was fatal, and it hit my heart in a deeper way than ever before. And then I started to wonder, where is God in all of this? And this is real. This is real life for all of us. I have been there. I'm sure you have been there. And God's saying this morning, your focus is so important because where your focus is, there your faith is. This is why it's so important. Wherever your focus is, there your faith is. See, whenever I start to focus more on what's on the bank, suddenly my finance becomes my faith. Whenever I start to focus on something else, like going here or going there, suddenly that becomes my faith. I've got faith that that's going to bring me through, that that's going to help me, that that's going to cause me to win. But God says this morning, the darts are coming, and the only thing that's going to protect you is your shield of faith. And to have your shield of faith, your focus needs to be on Jesus. If your focus is on him, your faith is in him, and he's faithful, and he comes through. Don't forget to keep your shield up, because the fiery darts, they're coming. They always come. It's important that we make sure we've got the right focus. Philippians 3:12, let's read it together. Not that I've already attained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, speaking to us, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Jesus has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, for Paul, he's just continuously reminding himself, I'm not looking at a book deal. I'm not looking to be the world's best leader. I'm not looking to build the biggest church. I'm not looking to be the most famous person in the Bible apart from Jesus, and he probably is. But instead, what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to keep my focus on him. I'm looking to keep my focus on him. What was Paul's success? That he never got to the goal. That he never got to the goal because Jesus was always a tiny bit ahead. His goal was heaven. His goal was to see as many people get to heaven. His attention, his main focus was always Jesus. What is our main attention this morning? What is our main focus? Now, here's the lie from the enemy. Here's the deception. That if I put my whole focus and I put my whole attention on Jesus, that he'll not let me do anything else. That all the other things that I love, I'm going to have to give up. Like, I don't know, whatever you're into, music, shopping, money, finance, whatever, all those things, cars, whatever you want to, that's all I'm going to have to give up. And God says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You'll just put it in the right place, and I'll help you, and I'll grow you, I'll encourage you, I'll build you up. But it starts with the right focus, and then everything else flows from that. Now, what did Paul achieve? Incredible things. But what was his focus? Not on personal success, not even on seeing people saved. His focus was Jesus. Because when his focus was Jesus, then that meant he was going to grow, and people were going to get saved. Think of it. To die is gain, but to be here is Christ. What was he saying? My main focus is Christ. It's not even the people, it's Christ. But because of the people, I'm going to stay because I know that's what Jesus would do. I know that's what Jesus would do. That is my main focus, nothing else. And so this morning, the lie and the deception is, if I only go for Jesus, I'll have no room for anything else. No, God is so good that if you go for him, he will give you all the desires of your heart. He will bring in the right things. He will keep out the wrong things. He will allow the right doors. He'll close the wrong doors. He'll be able to lock things, unlock things. He will encourage you in all things as we keep our focus on Jesus. Paul said, my life goal is to stay focused on Jesus. Never stop believing in him. Never stop pursuing him. Verse 14 again, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That was all for him. That was his all. Don't let other things steal your focus. Hebrews 12:1, let's read this one together. I love this verse. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2 is the key one. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This is such good news this morning. Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He is here this morning saying, keep your eyes fixed on me, because as you do, I will perfect you and I will pioneer you. I will lead you forward. I will encourage you. I will bring you to the places you need to get to. See, God has better plans for us than we have for ourselves. You need to know that this morning. He has better plans for you than you have for yourself. He has better ideas for you than you have for yourself. Do you know what? He loves you more than you love yourself. He absolutely does. And I know that that's one of the most difficult tasks. We talk about focusing being one of the most difficult tasks. I think a lot of times, for a lot of us, if we're really honest, is loving ourselves in the way that we know God loves us. He loves you more than you could ever love yourself. Now, that's not to discourage you from finding a place of how you can love yourself more. I want you to love yourself more. God says you need to love yourself more because you'll be a representation of me. And if you can't love you, how can you love anybody else? But God is here this morning saying, hey, keep your focus on me. My focus is on you. This is the good news. His focus is on us so that we can keep our focus on him. He's the pioneer and he's the perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what the word says. Fix your eyes on him. And as we come, I want to finish off with a couple of stories this morning about keeping our eyes on Jesus and how good that will be, not only for us, but the benefit it will be to everybody else. And I want to draw our attention to a couple of miracles this morning. Miracles, you know the thing I've learned about miracles? I've been praying a lot this last few weeks, as you can imagine. You know what miracles love? They love problems. They love obstacles. They love 65,000, because then a miracle can take place and something good can happen. Let's read it together this morning. This is what it says in Matthew 8:23. Miracles love problems. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up in the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and it was completely calm. Then, verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Miracles everywhere Jesus went. There was problems there. There was doubt there. There was unbelief there. I mean, Jesus even had to rebuke the guys in the midst of the miracle. And he said, guys, keep believing. And maybe we're here this morning and God's having to say to you, keep believing. Don't go into doubt now. Don't stop believing at this moment. Keep believing. You've come too far to turn around. And God is here this morning and said, hey, you might feel you're in a storm. You might feel you're in a boat. You might feel that everything's in jeopardy. We're not going to make it, whether it be the 65,000 or in your own life. You know what Jesus says? Keep your faith strong. Keep your faith in me. I can do incredible things. I can do incredible things. Verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is our God. So no matter what we face, no matter what we've gone through, even this, I want to encourage you in this, no matter what you've seen not happen to date, keep your eyes fixed on him. Because I can't understand all the things that God does, but I know this, he's always out for my good. He's always turning the bad into good. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Now, can I process it all? Can I understand it all? Absolutely not. But my job is not to understand, my job is to focus. My job is to focus on Jesus, because he is the author and the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. And as I do that, he'll increase my faith. Why does everything not work out the way we expected? I am not sure. I'm not sure why it doesn't happen A, B, and C a lot of the times. I'm not sure why it doesn't do that. But my job is not to do that. My job is to stay focused. I want to encourage you in that. Maybe you've had pain in the past, but I'm going to believe this, that God's turning all of that around for a purpose for the future. God is too good to leave things unbroken. He's too good not to fix things. Says, who is this man? What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Jesus was trying to show the disciples, in all things I'm greater. Whether it be practical, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, in all things I am greater. Keep your focus on me. The temptation again is to get distracted by something else or to try and do it for yourself or to try to get somebody else to do it for you. But Jesus says, keep focused on me. Even the winds and the waves obey me. So today, keep our focus. Final verse or nearly final verse we're going to read. Story I want to contrast it with because it's almost like similar events. Matthew 14, 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, just stop there for a moment. Jesus walked on the lake. That's just ridiculous. So our God is incredible. There is nothing that he cannot do. If he needs to walk on a lake to get you, that's what he's going to do. If he needs to go to hell to save us, that's what he'll do. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. He went to hell, took the keys of life and death, and then he came back. Sin defeated, death defeated, enemy defeated. He reigns victorious. And church, this morning, we need to know wherever he needs to go, he will go. Wherever he needs to go for a breakthrough, he's going to go there because Jesus is greater. He walked on the water. Do not ever get unfazed by that because that just blows my mind every time. They were terrified. I'd be terrified too. Who is this person? They say, it's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in faith. Our fear, sorry, it should have been faith. But verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. I love that. Take courage. I am with you. Take courage. I am here. Take courage. I have seen you. Take courage. I have remembered you. Take courage. I have not forgotten you. Take courage. I'm coming towards you. Nobody else, think about this, nobody else, past, present, or future, could have got to them. Only Jesus. In our situation, it's only Jesus. Nobody else could have saved us. If he's faithful to save us, he's able to bring us all the way through. If he's been faithful before, he'll be faithful again. Continue to trust God. Jesus is greater. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come in the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked in the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Not only can Jesus walk in the water, but he's got enough strength on the water that he can pull other people up. Jesus is incredible. Doesn't matter where he finds himself. He says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You see the link between the focus and the faith again? The moment that we lose our focus on Jesus, the moment our faith starts to go. If we keep our focus on him, our faith is strong. If we keep our focus on him, he continuously increases our faith because he's the author, the pioneer, and the perfecter of our faith, as the word says. But we've got to keep our focus on him. So don't let our faith get attacked because if it is, we drop our shield. The darts come in, they hit our heart, and then we start to say, is God really good? This morning, our focus is this. Our focus is Jesus. It'll mean we'll keep our shield up. It'll mean we'll stay protected no matter what. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down because even the wind and the waves obey him. The wind died down. Then verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshipped him saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What is our main focus? To remember he is truly the Son of God. That's it. He's Lord over all. He's in control of everything. He's never, ever, 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 ever lost control. Wow. Because I lose control all the time. I wonder if I've even got any control. Anybody feel like that? I wonder if I've even got any control or any measure of it. Because when I feel I have something, it's gone. When I feel I've achieved something, it feels like it goes. God is here this morning. He wants to encourage you. Doesn't matter the fear. Doesn't matter the doubts. Doesn't matter the problems. Doesn't matter the out of control. The key is keeping your focus on Jesus. You know what I've learned and what God's teaching me, and maybe he's been teaching you for a long time, is all of those things are part of the ingredients of a miracle. Doubt, fear, out of control, not sure what to do. It drives me to pray. It drives my focus to him. And then suddenly God comes through in a way that only he could do. Maybe you find yourself in the same story with the same problems, but maybe if you don't keep your focus on Jesus, you come out with a different ending. God says, keep your focus on me. Can we stand together? We're going to pray and just encourage our faith, encourage your hearts. Thank you, Lord. Let's close your eyes this morning. I want to share one last story into our hearts. Let's just close your eyes and think of Jesus. Let's focus on him. I want to remind you this morning of the story of Jonah. Jonah was called of God. He was a prophet of God. He was called to go to the city of Nineveh, and he was called to see a great revival, but he was fearful and he was afraid. He said, nothing makes sense. These people are going to kill me. These people are too difficult. They're too hard. This situation is too difficult. You don't understand, God. I can't do it. And so Jonah runs away. He's out of control. He's full of doubt. He's full of fear. And then God sends a fish, and it swallows Jonah, and he's in the belly of the whale. I'm sure he's at a point where it couldn't get any worse. God, what am I doing here? How did I ever get here? But it started because God had called him to something greater. But when he got to the place and was ready to step into the greater, he looked at what he saw in front of him. And instead of keeping his focus on Jesus, he got focused on the problems. He got focused on the obstacles, and it robbed him of his destiny. But God was so good, he sent a fish and he captured him to try and bring him to his senses. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would capture us in these moments, Lord, to bring us to our senses so that we would continuously remind ourselves that my focus must be on you. And as we're praying, this is what it says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. And so, Lord, this morning we stand, and I don't know how hopelessly we stand. I don't know how unworthy we stand. I don't know in how much jeopardy we stand or in how much unfaithfulness we stand. But, Lord, I pray this morning as we stand and we find ourselves in the presence of God, because that's where we're at, in the presence of God, that we would say, hey, I have decided to cast my thoughts again towards the Lord. It says midway through the book of Jonah that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. But this time he responded in faith instead of fear. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, wherever we find ourselves in our situations, wherever we find ourselves standing, wherever we find ourselves running, wherever we find ourselves going here or going there, Lord, remind us that our faith will be secure when our focus is secure in Jesus.